Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is the gospel lesson that we read together. One of the news channels on cable TV bills itself as providing fair and balanced coverage. Now I sometimes wonder how fair and balanced that coverage really is. But probably in comparison to some other news channels, it probably does a pretty good job of being fair and balanced. My guess is that most of us like to think of ourselves as being fair people and being balanced. Fair and balanced. We acknowledge that Christ died on the cross for all sinners, that he, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, opened the gate of heaven to all believers. Their sins are cleansed of them, and we like to think that, by gosh, we like to welcome them all to heaven too, don't we? And yet there's something about this reading that bothers people. There's something about this parable that Jesus says that just, it doesn't ring right in our ears. And then the sinful part of us shows itself. Oftentimes when I ask a question, I'll ask, how many are the firstborn? Or how many are the youngest? We get a raising of the hands, and there's probably some out there that's, well, pastor's going to ask who's the oldest, who's the youngest, and he always forgets to ask about who's in the middle. We tend to forget about the middleman, don't we? We forget about, you know, the middleman in our food production, we forget about the middleman that makes our car, we forget about a lot in the middle. In fact, my brothers, two and myself, were talking one day, and they said, yeah, you had it made, you were the oldest. I said, no, I didn't have it made, you had it made, you were younger. I blazed the trail, mom and dad knew what you could get away with and what you couldn't. And my younger brother's like, no, you both had it better than me. You two always picked on me. And my middle brother, he always says, well, yeah, well, you both had it pretty good. He said, I always got caught in the middle. If you did something wrong, I'd get caught for it. If he did something wrong, I'd get caught for it. And in the text this evening before us, don't the middle people sort of get left out of the story? Don't they sort of get left out of our thought? Because our text begins with the master of the house going out in the early part of the day and hiring workers to go in his vineyard, and he says, work today and I'll give you a denarius. They say, okay, they go off to the field and they work. A denarius was a day's wage. Fair and balanced. I'm going to work for a day, I'll get a day's wage. No complaint whatsoever. Then a couple of times periodically through the day, he goes and he gets other workers to work in his field. And in the parable, the master never says how much he's going to give to those workers, does he? He says, work in my field today and I will give you a fair wage. A fair wage. Now perhaps those workers called at the other parts of the midday think that they'll get a prorated payment based upon the part of the day that they work. They were going to be paid a fair wage. And then there are those that are hired at the end of the day, 1 hour yet to work, and they also aren't told what they're going to be paid, and they're probably just glad to be able to go out and work even for an hour and even to get an hour's wage. Perhaps enough to buy them an evening meal and get them through the night till the next day when hopefully somebody will hire them. Then it comes time to pay the workers. And the master says, have the last ones hired come first. And the first to come are those that only work the hour. And what does he pay them? He pays them a denarius, a day's wage, a full day's wage. And those fellows are probably like, yes, an hour's worth of work for a whole day's wage. Who wouldn't be elated at that? And nothing is said about those in the middle, is there? They certainly get paid, but there's no grumbling that comes from them, except those that were hired first. Well, those that got paid are hired last. They got paid a denarius. And probably all those others that got partial hours work, they got paid a denarius. Well, we put in the full day's work. So naturally, we worked longer, we worked harder. So what's our logical thinking? I should get paid more, right? That would be fair, isn't it? But what do they get? They get the day's wage, what they had agreed to. And that causes grumbling. And the master says, you know, that's what you agreed to. You agreed to work for a denarius. I'm giving you what you agreed to, what we contracted for. Is it my fault that you became greedy and that you thought you would get more? Are you envious that I am able to be generous with others, generous with what's mine to give? And so even in the explanation or the playing out of the parable, those people in the middle get lost. And it's like, what about them? Do they have the feelings of being elated too about working for part of a day and getting a full day's wage? Or did some of them also get upset because they had worked long and hard in the day and only got a day's wage? Jesus doesn't tell us the feeling of those in the middle. But you and I, we're sort of in the middle, aren't we? If we look at the parable that Jesus is talking about as the kingdom of God. Or we could be those that are hired last. In my first parish in North Dakota, there was a woman. And every time this text came up in Sunday service or in Bible class, she would come to me and she'd say, Pastor, there's a part of me that knows you're right in what you're saying. But there's also a part in me that says and screams out loud and clear, that just isn't fair. I said, well, what isn't fair? Well, those people, they only worked a little bit and they got paid for the whole day. I said, well, really, you're not so much concerned about the outcome of that story, are you? She goes, well, what do you mean? I said, you're more concerned with the outcome in life, aren't you? If a parable is Jesus trying to describe the kingdom of heaven in the way we understand it, you're not feeling that God's treating you fairly, are you? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I said, well, if the real payment were not money, but if the real payment is faith in Jesus Christ, as Savior. And the salvation and the life and the forgiveness of sins that come in that faith, well, that's really the same for all those. But what you're seeing is unfair is that, well, I've been a Christian most of my life. And I've been towing the line, so to speak. Now, we like to think, don't we, that we're towing the line. What are we really? If we admit to ourselves and to God, we're wretched, poor, miserable sinners, aren't we, like we confessed in the words of the Creed. And I said, Marcia, because that's what her name was, I said, Marcia, you're only looking at your faith and your life in Jesus Christ in terms of the things that God asks us to say no to. You're thinking in terms of, I've lived my life following God's commandments. I've tried my best to live according to the commandments. And I've had to make sacrifices in my life for my faith, for my family, for my church. And all you're seeing is that sacrifice. But you look at the others and you see simply the benefit and you don't see the sacrifice. I said, how about you turn it around, flip it around, and think of your life as it's been in Christ and the blessedness of having known Jesus Christ from your childhood, from your youth, knowing that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for you, that when you ask him to forgive you your sins, he does forgive you and he doesn't remember them anymore. Think of the blessedness it's been to you and the source of strength and comfort and hope in all of those times in life when your life was really falling apart and you had nothing else to go to or to cling to but that faith in Jesus Christ. Think of how rich you are in having known that Savior all of your life. And think how wretched and how empty and how hopeless those people that don't know him are. To not have that hope to cling to when there is nothing else to hope in or to cling to. And I said, I understand the thought of unfairness because we're only looking at things from our side, from our perspective. But I said, wouldn't your perspective change dramatically if your son or your daughter or your husband had been an unbeliever all their life, had not confessed faith in the Savior that you know, and how longing your heart is for them to know that Savior and to have that relationship? And what if maybe an hour before they died, they could say that I believe in Jesus as my Savior? Would you want them to have any less the joy and the blessedness of heaven than what you would have? Or would you want them to have it all? And she said, well, I would want them to have it all. I said, that's what Jesus is saying to us. He treats us all fairly when he dies on the cross. He dies on the cross for everyone. He dies on the cross for those who have believed in him from infancy. He died on the cross for those who believe in him in the midday of life. And he died on the cross for those who come to faith in him in the evening hours of life. But the blessing, the payment, is the same. salvation, life, forgiveness of sins, eternal life in Jesus Christ. What about those in the middle? What were their thoughts? How did they feel? You and I could be the people in the middle. We could be those called to labor in the vineyard during the middle of the day in terms of the kingdom of heaven, in terms of the kingdom of God. Or we could be those who are called to work in the final hours of the day. None of us know when our Lord Jesus will return. But what we can be thankful for, can't we, is that the master of the house, Jesus Christ our Lord, has come to us, whether in the morning, whether in the noonday, whether in the afternoon or the evening, and he has called us unto himself, called us to labor in his vineyard, and he has promised us a fair, yea, a more than fair payment. He has promised us the fullness of the inheritance that is his in heaven. There's something about this reading that causes the ugliness of our sin to raise its head and say, there just is something that isn't fair there. But yet, as the Master says, aren't I allowed to be generous with what is mine? Isn't the forgiveness and the life and the salvation offered at the cross of Jesus Christ his to give? It's not mine. Therefore, who am I to begrudge it to those for whom he has died? May God grant to us to live also in the generosity of his blessings to us. And whether we are called in the early part of the day, the middle part of the day, or the end of the day, may we labor such that we bring glory to him, and that also as we labor, we draw others into that harvest as well. God grant that to us, to his glory. Amen.